Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you Mishnah 5 and Mishnah 6 of the 4th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. Mishnah 5 continues in the with the idea of Ona'ah and moves on to the issue of using a coin that has lost some of its value. As I mentioned back in Mishnah 1, in the olden days, and the truth is not so olden days, coins actually had an intrinsic value based on the amount and type of metal used in a coin. So an ounce of a silver coin would be worth, well, whatever an ounce of a silver coin was worth at that time. And as the coin circulates, the metal wears off because you rub it with your fingers, and therefore the coin becomes less intrinsically valuable than the value that's stated on it or that one assumes it is. If enough of the metal wears away, but you use the coin at face value anyway, then you may enter a state of ona'ah where you are giving somebody much less than you are telling him that you're giving him. Kama tehei asela chasera velo yehei ba ona'ah. So how much can a sela, which if you remember is 24 silver ma'ot, how much can a sela lose in its mass, or its mass of metal, before it is considered ona'ah for using it? Rabbi Meir Omer, Arba'a Isarin, Isar Ladinar. Rabbi Meir says the rate is 4 Isarim lost from a sela. Doesn't say a sela, but that's what it means. Or 1 Isar lost from a single dinar. Which means that a dinar, by the way, is 1/4 of a sela. Now, what you may want to do is take the time to make a money exchange chart, because otherwise the mission is difficult to explain. So here is the, you may want to press that pause button, get a piece of some paper and pencil, and then come back, and here's how the chart goes. There are 4 dinars in a sela, which we've already stated. There are 6 ma'ot in a dinar, which means there are 24 ma'ot in a sela. There are 4 pundions in each ma'ah, which means there are 12 pundions in each dinar, and 46 pundions in a sela. There are 2 isars in each pundion, which makes 4 isars in each ma'ah, 24 isars in each dinar, and 96 isars in each sela. And if that's confusing, I completely understand why it's confusing, but we'll just go with that for now. So Rabbi Meir says that using a coin at face value is ona'ah when a sela is missing 4 isars. So 4 isars is 4/96th, or 1/24th of its weight, which is, by the way, the same as a single ma'ah. And if you're paying with a dinar rather than a sela, so you enter ona'ah land if it's missing a single isar, which again is 1/24th the weight of the coin. Now 1/24th is a much smaller loss than that which we saw for the price of goods, which was always 1/6th. We'll avoid the issue of whether that means 1 out of 6 or 7 out of 6, meaning 1/7th, and we'll just stick with the terminology of 1/6th. But either way, according to Rabbi Meir, there's a much smaller margin, 1/24th, much smaller margin of error that the coin is less worth than its face value when the coin becomes problematic, when it enters an ona'ah state. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Arba'a pundionot for a sela, that's what he means, for a sela, and pundion ladina, or if it's lost 1 pundion per dinar, that is, if it's lost the weight of 4 pundions for sela and 1 pundion for a dinar. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, so therefore, if there are 12 pundions for a dinar, and it's lost 1 pundion and that's ona'ah, that means that's 1/12 of a loss, or double the amount as the spread that was allowed by Rabbi Meir. And as for a sela, it's the same thing. It's 4 pundions. Since there are 4 dinars per sela, that means 48 pundions in a sela. So 4 of 48 is 1/12. It's the same. If that amount of pundions are rubbed away from a sela, or essentially 1/12 of a loss rubbed away from a sela, ona'ah sets in. It's a larger margin, but still smaller than ona'ah for goods. Finally, Rabbi Shimon Omar, shmone pundionot for a sela. He doesn't say for a sela, but that's the implication. And shnei pundionot for a dinar. So Rabbi Shimon says 8 pundions of loss for a sela, or 2 loss from a dinar. So that makes 8 of the 48 punyums in a sela, meaning 1/6 of it could be rubbed away before ona'ah sets in, which is the same ona'ah as we saw for the sale of regular goods as well. Now, in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, the same question that we asked on goods is now asked of coins, which is, how long do you have to request amends if you were the victim of ona'ah? If you remember, there was a dispute in the Gemara whether you were able to cancel completely the deal if you found out that you had received you were the victim of ona'ah, or whether you were simply able to demand a fair share of that money back. But right now, we'll assume that the deal, you have the right to cancel the deal. Ad matai mutar lachzir. So until when can you return the bad coin, as it were, and get your goods back if you find out that a certain amount was rubbed off, either 1/24, 1/12, or 1/6, depending on the opinion in the previous Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Bekrachim ad kadei shiyir'eh l'shulchani, ubakfarim ad arvei shavatot. So literally a krach is a walled city, but the sense here is that a city is large enough to have its own trade and its own market. And therefore, since it does, you only have as much time as it takes to show to a money exchanger, which is, if you're buying in the shuk, is probably just, I don't know, 2 minutes away to take a look at, to go to the money exchanger. If you do not return the coin within that time, then you cannot demand that the transaction be reversed. In a kfar, however, which is a small village, which one without its own market, so you have until Friday, until Erev Shabbat. And the reason why is because that's when you went to the larger town to purchase to purchase goods for Shabbat, and that's when you'll try to use the coin, and that's when somebody will say, I'm not going to take that coin, it's not worth it, and then you can go back to the guy who gave you the coin in the first place and say, I want my goods back for this lousy money. Now, the Mishnah gives friendly advice for good behavior, not halachically binding advice, as we'll see, but friendly advice. Im haya makira, afila char shneim asar chodesh, if a person who used, who gave out the coin in the first place recognizes the coin when the person brings it back to him or her, even if it was after 12 months, so that person should, as an act of doing a chesed, as an act of doing an ethical thing, he should take back the coin. However, the Mishnah does state, ve'ein lo alav elatar omet. The ve here doesn't mean and, it means but. Which means, but if the person does not want to take back the coin after that elapsed time that we mentioned above, which was either Friday or the amount of time it took you to show that person to show to a money exchanger, so there's not even a complaint. Now, the idea of a taromet is actually interesting. We'll come across it a few times in Bava Metzia, although we haven't yet, which is somewhere in between having no redress and full redress. So in the best situation, if somebody cheats you, you have a full financial redress, you don't have to complain about anything, you just take them to the bank and you get your money back. In the worst possible situation, you can't even complain about it, but there's this middle state called a taromet, which is where even though you can't demand the money back, someone did you wrong in business, and therefore you have the ability to essentially make it known. It's sort of like you're allowed to file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, and I guess it's not considered lashon hara. You're actually kind of, that's your redress. It's a verbal redress. This way people will know that there's something shifty going on here, even though it's within the strict letter of the law. So what the Mishnah says here is that even though a person really should accept the coin back at any time that somebody discovers that it had been worn away, that it entered a state of ona'ah, here not only can you not really demand the money back after that time has elapsed, but you can't even make a taromet. Why? Because you were supposed to show the coin to somebody else. If you didn't bother showing the coin to somebody else to see whether it was a good coin, so that's your problem, not the person that gave you the coin. Moreover, v'notzna l'maser sheni, ve'eino choshesh, she'eino ela nefesh ra'ah. So if you get stuck with the coin, because the person will not take it back from you, because he doesn't have to after that elapsed time, interestingly enough, you could use it to exchange maaser sheni produce. And now, we should probably make a detour, which is not directly relevant to Bava Metzia. It's more of a Zerayim issue, but we better discuss it, otherwise this Mishnah won't make much sense. Maaser sheni, what is it? So in Judaism, agriculture follows a 7-year cycle. The 7th year is Shemitah, which means that on that year, not only can you not plow and sow your farms, but any produce that grows on it from stuff that was sown the previous year, has to be left in place. Now, anybody could take it, which means you could take it too. The owner of the farm could take the produce too, but you can't take it in the big harvesting blocks and store it away. You have to treat yourself like any poor person can come to your fields and pluck an apple off the tree and enjoy your day's meal. You want to grab a bunch of wheat, you can fill up a little basket, make yourself some nice bread, but what you can't do is harvest. Everybody, your field becomes everybody's to take. You don't have to starve to death. You can take from your own field also, but you're not allowed to work the land. Now, year 1 and 6, however, years 1 through 6, then whatever you produce on your lands is yours, minus, however, some taxes from the net that you bring back into the granary and back into storage. The reason why I say net is because there's actually a gross that you can't even, that you're not even allowed to harvest, called three things, called lechet, shichan, peyav, and I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm just going to go into the net harvest, not the gross produce. So, you've gathered together, let's say, 100 pounds of potatoes into your farm. So the question, into your storage. So the question is, how much can you eat? So, every single year, year 1 through 6, you must take out a certain amount for Kohanim. And actually, unless you take out that amount for Kohanim, you can't even eat the food whatsoever. That amount that you take out is called Truma. It's usually 2%, although the actual amount is not stipulated, but the general policy is 2%. That goes to the Kohen, that goes to them every single year, 1 through 6, and essentially you're left with 98% of your net harvest. What happens then? You have to pay a tithe, a 10%, which goes to Levium. That's called Maaser Levi or Maaser Rishon, and again, you give it every single year, 1 through 6. So you're left essentially with, let's say, 10% or 90% is minus still, it's 98% minus 9.8%. Feel free to do the math. What you're left with, however, you still have to give another tithe. However, here's where it gets a little bit more complicated. You have to give another 10% of what's left, but here it gets complicated. On years 3 and 6 of the 7-year cycle, the second tithe, the second 10%, goes to the poor, and therefore it's not surprisingly called Maaser Ani, which is the tithe to the poor. However, the good news is that on year 1, 2, and 4, and 5 of the cycle, you actually get to keep your own tithe. You get to tithe, but you get to eat it. What's the condition, however? You have to eat it in Jerusalem. Now, for reasons which we're not going to go into, although you could probably imagine why it would be important to take all your produce and make it circulate in the markets in Jerusalem. Now, here's the problem. Any serious farmer is going to have a hard time trucking in 10% of their harvest to Jerusalem. And it's not a full 10% because it's 10% after what's been removed for Truma and Maaser. But if you're talking about a serious farmer that has hundreds and thousands of pounds, I mean tons of goods, so therefore it's not like you're going to be able to put it into a gigantic truck, or you could put it into a bunch of trucks and move it to Jerusalem, but it's really quite impractical. And therefore the Torah set up something called an exchange, a pidyon. And what you do is you transfer, you exchange the produce for a cash, not equivalent, we'll see in a second. It's like taking the holy status off of, or the quasi-holy status off of this Maaser Sheni fruit, and moving it into the coins itself. What do you do with the coins? You then bring those coins to Jerusalem, and you spend them to your heart's content. You buy pizza, or kosher, Haagen-Dazs, or kosher burger cake, whatever you want to spend it on, you could spend it on to eat in Jerusalem. As I mentioned, it's not a one-for-one exchange. You actually have to exchange it for 5/4 the value. So if you have $1,000 of produce, you have to exchange it for $1,250 and take that $1,250. That produce now can be eaten at your house anytime you want, or you can sell it or do whatever you want with it. And you take the $1,250 up to Jerusalem to spend it on purchasing food there. Now, what does this have to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if you wind up getting stuck with a coin that has lost its value to the point of Ona'ah, you can, in fact, use it for Maaser Sheni. So you might think, wow, that's pretty shocking, because why would you want to cheat God? And the answer is, according to the Mishnah, She'eino Ela Nefesh Ra'ah. And what that means is, when it comes to coins, everybody understands they get rubbed away. And that everybody understands that over the course of time, you stick them in your pocket, you take it out, you look at it, you trade it to somebody else, you put it in a candy machine, you get it back out. Everybody understands that metal wears away from coins. And it's going to work out anyway, because some days you lose by accepting a coin that's been rubbed away, and then in other days you give away that coin to purchase some ice cream or whatever, which means you wind up earning a little bit of money or getting a little more than the coin that you gave actually was. Coins circulate. People understand that sometimes they get stuck a little bit, and other times they gain a little bit, and overall it all equals out, so it's no big deal, which means that it's only a nefesh ra'ah, which I guess in this case could be discussed as a cheapskate or a miser. Only a nefesh ra'ah is going to care about exactly whether the coin is rubbed away a little bit or not. Most people don't care. And God, apparently, does not care. And therefore, it does not affect the laws of miser sheni. God does not care if you use a standard coin to exchange the miser sheni. It's part of normal transaction circulation of cash. And you can, in fact, use it even though the weight has been lost to the point of ona'ah.